Hey, this is Savor on Jefferson Public Radio. My name is Will Smith. I'm here with Midori Uehara of Midori's Miso, a product that I absolutely adore and I am using more and more as time goes by. Midori, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So many questions.
All right.
Tell us just a little bit about how you got to Ashland, Oregon.
How I got to Ashland. Long story short, I studied international studies.
Yeah.
I'm born and raised in Japan. I'm from southern part of Japan, and I went to school. My hometown is called Kumamoto. I went to school in Nagasaki, studied international studies. And so I was interested in different cultures. So as a young age, I started to come into the States on and off. And I was kind of ready to leave the job in Japan. And then I searched a hippie town USA. Because I was reading some, you know, articles about hippies, and it says love and peace, and what is it about? Then I Googled.
I love this.
And it came up that Eugene came up as a number one.
Yes, I'm
in
sure.
United States. So I actually moved to Japan to Eugene, and then I met my partner.
Nice.
And he's been living in Southern Oregon last 25 years or so. So yeah. I moved in with him. So that's how I got to Southern Oregon. And Ashland part is because I started my business. I needed to come to bring my miso to this
exactly
community.
So miso.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite sort of pantry items,
mm-hmm.
I use it in salad dressing. I use it as marinades. I use it in soups.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your interest in miso and how that started.
So I started making my own miso early 20s when I studied 1 year in Wisconsin as an exchange student. And the first 10 days, few weeks, I was very excited to eat at the cafeteria at the college because pizzas or the salad bars and omelets and everything that I wasn't very familiar with. So I was super excited. But after a month, I just got sick of the food.
I bet.
Yeah. And then what I missed was my mom's food. I was, you know, homesick.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I could think about is the miso soup that I grew up eating rice and miso soup every single morning. And they still do eat breakfast right. like that every sure. morning. So I figured having the miso would make me feel better, and which was true. Having miso soup every morning, it just makes me feel like home again.
That's nice.
So that's when I started making my own miso.
Yeah.
Every year, because miso takes time to ferment. So usually my mom makes like once a year, and then the next year that miso is going to serve us whole family whole year. And so I started making miso early 20s. And when I moved to Oregon, I started doing a miso making workshop with people in the community in Cave Junction where I live. But I was like, how can I share this healthy food with this more bigger community?
Sure.
And I wanted to contribute to people's health. And I was thinking about, oh, if I could actually make it in a commercial kitchen and package it, then I can share by selling it.
Yeah.
And that's when actually the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't actually host miso making workshop.
Sure.
Especially my miso making workshop, I'll make small groups and then make them to put all the hands into the one big pot of,
right.
you know, mixture of the miso that because that brings in your own microbes in your hand, goes into the miso. So you share the different bacteria and microbes from other people, other environments that goes into the same pot and then split and then eat, you know, introduced into your body.
Yeah.
So that brings in more healthy diversity in your gut system.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I usually did my miso making workshop. But I was like, wait, with this pandemic,
no,
it doesn't work. So,
doesn't work,
okay,
right.
this is my way. And like, I'm going to make miso. and package it and sell it in the community. So this is the way that I can share.
So what is your kind of like thumbnail on what is miso and why is it so good health-wise?
So miso is a Japanese traditional condiment, and it's been around more than thousands of years.
Yeah.
So of course that miso is fermented, so it brings in the rich in nutrients, probiotics for the gut health, support the immune function, and even there's a lot of studies around healing the cancers and heart. So there's a lot of health benefits. So, and we just eat every day in Japan, like, you know, every morning.
No, I know.
Not just every morning, but almost every, it can be every meal.
And what is the procedure?
Like how you use it?
In making it.
The making the miso itself?
Yeah.
So the first step is growing this culture called koji.
Mm-hmm.
And then koji is actually a fungus. So it's a mold. But sometimes people get scared with the word of fungus or mold
in
the food.
Yeah, people don't like that.
So sometimes I change it to culture.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but so the fungus called koji, I grow that on the rice. So I inoculate on the rice. It's like mushrooms. It takes about 3 days. So 48 hours that I inoculate. They're mold, so they're like humid, moist, warm environment. It's like sauna.
Right.
So I mimic that environment in a commercial kitchen. And I grow that for over 3 days. And then on the third day, I cook the beans, which in Japan, miso has to be made with soybeans.
Right.
So my signature miso is actually chickpea miso.
Right.
I say it's a Oregon miso because the chickpea is grown in Oregon and I wanted to resource as local as possible.
Love that.
So chickpea miso is, I feel like, special to people in Oregon.
Exactly. I love that.
So then I cook the beans on the third day, mash them, and mix with koji rice that I inoculated, and then the beans that's cooked, and then salt, and I mix all together and ferment in a dark, cool place. It can be somewhere 3 months to over a year, but my miso in generally over 1 year.
So good. Hey, everyone, this is Savor on Jefferson Public Radio. My name's Will Smith. I have Midori Yuhara here from Midori's Miso, discussing all things fermented. Oh, Mido's Miso.
Yeah,
I've been corrected. Thank you.
That's my nickname.
So that's chickpea miso. And just as you just listened, that is a signature to Southern Oregon, creating a ancient miso, but with a local flavor. And something about that I just love. So
yeah, Will made the miso glaze halibut. Was so good.
Oh, OMG. So any of you that are not, you know, used to using miso, it is an incredible additive to salad dressings, marinades, especially nice with fish, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, whenever I'm making any kind of like brothy thing, I'll do a tablespoon.
Totally,
And it elevates your nutrition. It elevates the umami flavor. And it's a beautiful thing to
me. It just makes everyone a good cook.
Oh my God. I did a halibut grilled with that miso glaze.
Yeah.
People go nuts for it.
That was bomb.
It's so delicious.
That was so delicious. Yeah, tonight my dinner is going to be that.
Okay, so I do want to go back into how it's created, because it is a bit of a scientific experiment. I know you gave a class.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of a complicated thing.
Mm-hmm. The koji is amazing. The koji is not only used for miso, but most of all the fermentation in Japan involved with koji. Even soy sauce and sake, Mm-hmm. Rice vinegar, mirin, all these things are made with koji. So without koji, there's no Japanese food culture. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. So koji, they produce enzymes. And that's the actual purpose of why we grow the koji. Once we grow the koji, koji produces about, as far as we know, there are like about 200 of enzymes. Mm-hmm. But they're still studying, so there's probably way more than that. There are basically a few main enzymes, protease, that breaks down the proteins so we can taste the umami. That's the amino acid. And also they produce the amylase, which breaks down the carbohydrate into the simple sugar. So that's the sweetness that we can taste. Mm. So even that growing the koji, we can adjust the temperature, we can adjust the timing of finishing, we can adjust how much oxygen we provide. And of course, there are different strains of koji. So using that different techniques, we can aim it to how much of the protease we want it to produce, how much of amylase we wanted them to produce. So by technically adjusting the amount of the enzymes, that we can aim it to what kind of product that we wanted to create at the end.
Right.
So even making miso, my miso is usually a little towards the sweeter side compared to salty, boldy, dark flavor. It's, of course, one thing is that chickpeas naturally sweeter than soybeans. Soybeans has more higher protein content compared to chickpea. So chickpea comes out a little bit sweeter. Mm. But also how I make the koji is more aimed to a little bit sweeter side, more amylase. So that's the balance of I want to bring it to umami and sweetness.
And I love that. And so for you on a daily basis, what are your favorite ways of using miso?
Oh gosh, there's just everything. I literally put miso for everything, you know. What I learned here is when people say miso, sometimes people refer that it's miso soup.
Yes, totally.
You know, of course, miso soup is one of the well-known way to use.
Right.
Very staple. Soup is, of course, one thing, like what you said, that any brothy thing. So I put it in curry. Mm-hmm. I put it in a spaghetti sauce, stew. So I make, like you said, I make dressings. I make sauces for the stir fry. But, you know, even you don't have to make it into actually the sauce. You just mix with a little bit of water, so loosen up like a sauce consistency,
right,
and just pour that at the end of the stir fry. It's already a sauce.
Yeah, I love that.
It's very simple, and you can even like put it a little bit on the bread.
Oh, it's been sort of a new staple for me.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it, and I haven't found a way to use it that is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's nothing wrong to put it in everything.
Like, yeah, it's a supreme condiment, mm-hmm, that you can use in a multitude of ways.
Totally, yeah. So I even make this granola called the miso granola.
Uh-huh.
And people are like, is this just a salty? And no, it is sweetened with maple syrup. But
I'm shocked by this.
Yeah, I would love you to try it. And so it's like savory with umami that you can taste.
Yeah.
And I also make this pudding. I also put miso in it, and these are one of my best-selling products.
Nice.
Yeah, so I brought
these. So where can people find you?
You can find my miso, the signature chickpea miso, mainly Southern Oregon, Ashan Food Co-op, Shop and Cart, Medford Food Co-op, Cartwright.
Good.
Yeah, and there are a few stores in Eugene, one in Bend and a few on the coast.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Good. And I have to tell our listeners, if you ever have an opportunity to do a class with Midori, she's an amazing teacher, instructor.
Thank you.
So I appreciate so much. You've been listening to Savor, JPR's regional food podcast. You can find this program and more on our website at jeffexchange.org or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you and be well.